You're never too young to fall in love with poetry. When singer-songwriter Natalie Merchant had a daughter 7 years ago, she began reading her Mother Goose rhymes and silly nonsense verses. She found herself moving deeper and deeper into the world of poetry, researching obscure British Victorian poets and early 20th century American writers. And if you're Natalie Merchant, what do you do when you fall in love with a poem? You set it to music.
Maggie and Millie and Molly. Went down to the beach one day to play. Maggie and Millie, Molly and May.
Natalie Merchant has just released her first studio album in 7 years. It's called Leave Your Sleep. She stopped by the studio to talk with Anne Strainchamps recently, along with her daughter.
And Maggie discovered a shell that sang so sweetly she couldn't remember her trouble.
You want to draw in the studio in that desk right there?
Okay.
As long as you're quiet. We're practicing whispering.
How old is she now?
She's seven. But she had her little pad of paper and her crayons right underneath my microphone. So now she's moved onto the floor.
Well, she's been part of this project from the beginning, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
You write in the introduction that these songs are part of a long conversation you've had with her during the whole first 6 years of her life.
Well, throughout the research period for the making of this project, I would read poetry or recite poetry or nursery rhymes and lullabies, whatever, to my daughter. And then as the songs were developing, as I was adapting them to music, she was always in the room. So they became part of her childhood and part of her upbringing, her introduction to language and to poetry and to culture, history.
For whatever we lose, like a you or a me, it's always ourselves that we find at the sea.
It's maybe a kind of motley, eclectic poetry collection you've put together here, and yet there's something that holds it all together. How would you describe the kind of through line of the poems?
I tried to choose poems that had strong archetypes in them, especially archetypes of childhood, whether it was the circus or giants or witches or the man in the wilderness representing the boogeyman. And then in addition to that, I had to address different sort of classic themes of childhood. And I think abandonment is one. Fear of not being loved, desire to be loved. Loss of innocence was another theme that I wanted to cover because these were stages my daughter was going through in her own childhood.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting how many poems that are ostensibly written for children have these kind of dark undernotes. And for example, the very first song in the collection, Nursery Rhyme of Innocence and Experience.
By Charles Cosley.
Tell us something about that one. That's such a beautiful song.
Well, although it was written by Charles Cosley, who didn't die until 2003, so pretty contemporary, it reads like a ballad from another period. And it discusses a sea journey of a sailor and a little boy who asks him to bring him back gifts, treasures from the sea.
I had a silver penny and an apricot tree, and I said to the sailor on the White Key, sailor, oh sailor, will you bring me if I give you my penny and my apricot tree? A fist from my duty, I've drunk to be.
The sailor becomes caught up in a war of some sort of battle, and is killed and never returns.
The end of that song is sort of chilling. You know, the boy keeps waiting for the sailor, and the last lines, where are the other girls and boys, and why have you brought me children's toys?
Yes, the things that the child desired 3 years later, he has no use for, because he's passed through his childhood.
And where are all the other girls and boys? why have you brought me children's toys? Brought me children's toys.
And before long, he'll be old enough to go to war himself.
True.
But don't you think that's true of a lot of these poems, that they can seem innocent and childlike on the surface, but there are these minor notes or discordant images lurking underneath?
That's why I chose many of them, because I think childhood is like that. I think there's great fear and trepidation and deep concerns that children have that lie under the surface, and we sometimes don't acknowledge, or we try to jolly them out of. And people warned me, when you have a child, you're going to re-experience many of the things from your own childhood, and that's happening now.
For instance?
I mean, just for instance, I remember my first trip to Washington, D.C., where we are right now. I was in third grade, and I had an intense affection for Thomas Jefferson. And I remember my heart swelling when I stood at the base of his statue in the memorial. And yesterday we went, because my daughter has the same kind of feelings for Abraham Lincoln, because she's in first grade. There's a large exhibition at the American History Museum about him. And we went to see a stovetop cap, and they had the actual wedge that he used when he was a log splitter. And it was going along really well until we reached the hoods from the hangings of the conspirators. And, you know, the surgical tools used to remove the bullets. And I've really kept that part of the story out. And then we had to have a long conversation about things I didn't really want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But they're landmines. And it was painful, really painful.
So speaking of some of the other kind of dark themes, there's another one of my favorite songs in this collection is The Man in the Wilderness.
The man in the wilderness, he asked of me.
You mentioned that's a kind of archetypal figure.
Definitely the boogeyman.
How many?
He's a pretty mild one. All he's doing is asking riddles, but to me that was really confounding and frightening as a
really?
Child.
Really? Why is
that? There would be a man who would ask me questions that there really were no answers to. And I think the lack of detail about him. He's nothing but the man in the wilderness.
Yeah, just a voice.
So I would always just see the shadowy figure in the trees, which, well, I grew up in the forest, so I didn't need any extra ammunition.
Right. The man in the wilderness asked me to tell all the sands in the sea, and I counted them well. He said we were clear, and not one more. I answered him, now you go make sure.
In the introduction, you write that setting some of these poems to music kind of lets you get inside them, lets you uncover some of their deeper meanings, or maybe figure out some of the secrets of their construction?
Because of repetition. You know, it's not that often that I choose a poem and then repeat it over and over and over and then try to really understand its rhythmic scheme.
Is there an example that comes to mind of a poem that you really thought about differently once you went through that process?
Well, I like to use the example of If No One Ever Marries Me, which is the Alma Tadema poem. You know, if no one ever marries me, I shan't mind very much. I'll buy a squirrel in a cage and a little rabbit hutch. And if no one ever marries me, what's the last line about? I'll buy myself a little orphan girl and bring her up as mine.
Well, if no one ever marries me, and I don't see why they should. Nurse says I'm not pretty, and you know I'm seldom good, seldom.
I liked it, especially because it was written by an 18-year-old Victorian girl from England. I ended up at first writing a melody and a tune that was very lighthearted. And I realized that wasn't exactly what I wanted the poem to reflect, because I felt there was a melancholy in it and a sense of resignation and regret. And it became a mournful country ballad.
If no one matters.
then when you investigated, you discovered, in fact, she did never marry.
No, she didn't marry. She lived in the company of her books and her dear friends and her sister, and maybe it was a bit revolutionary for her to choose not to marry. I don't know, though. It's just not enough information.
When I'm really getting old at 28 or 9, buy myself a little orphan girl and bring her up as mine. No one marries me.
We've talked about a lot of the songs with the darker sort of underbellies, but there are also an equal number of songs that are just pure fun and especially just such verbal fun. What is it you love so much about nonsense verse?
I love the free association and the surreal imagery and just the joy of the language. Sometimes I feel these poets weren't writing with any meaning in mind. They were just enjoying the sheer delight of the sounds of these words coming out of their mouths. You know, capital's a ship for an ocean, trip with a walloping window blind. You can just see this rollicking motion happening through the language.
Composed the sand was a favorite land, all trimmed in cinnamon straws. Pink and blue was the pleasing hue of the tickle-toe-teaser's claws. We sat on the edge of the sandy ledge, shot at the whistling bee. Binnacle bass, while waterproof fences, they danced in the sounding sea.
I wanted to ask you about the title, Leave Your Sleep. And I know it comes from a Mother Goose rhyme. It's one I used to read to my children. But I was thinking that leave your sleep can have, well, there's so many different kinds of sleep, aren't there?
I felt that it could apply to the poets who have been slumbering in libraries and archives and books. It could be about the poetry that they wrote that has been sort of relegated to silent shelving. It could be encouraging the people who listen to the record to awaken their senses and awaken their sensibilities to the poetry and the music. One of the discs is called Leave Your Sleep and the other one is called Leave Your Supper. And so that there might be more things about life that are more valuable at times than sustenance, which is kind of the way that I operate when I'm in my creative process. There's not a lot of sleeping or eating going on. So it has so many different meanings.
Well, I hope it's not the end of the project.
No, I'm about to go on tour. It's really interesting because now I'm taking the songs to a new place. I'm learning how to move to them. And we project images of the poets and I talk about them. And people have really been enjoying it. I've had people tell me if this is the way poetry had been introduced to me as a kid, I would have probably read it.
Well, a one-woman campaign for the pleasures of reading poetry. Poetry sales are going to go through the roof.
I don't think so. But it seems like a worthy pursuit to just try to awaken people to something that I've been awoken to. I think that's the best you can do.
The sun has gone from the shining skies. Dandelions have closed their eyes. The stars are lighting their lamps to see if babes and squirrels and birds and bees are sound asleep as they should be.
Natalie Merchant, talking with Anne Strangechamps about her most recent album, Leave Your Sleep, a collection of songs adapted from poems by Victorian and early 20th century poets.